So, Jay Craven, I'm speaking with you today, and you're the director of Disappearances?
Right. I directed the film and wrote the screenplay and produced it, and we're playing a role in the distribution of it. So this is sort of independent film, North Country style. And I wrote this piece. I mean, since I've been on the road with the film, you know, it has made sense for me to sort of keep a diary and also explore some of the meanings of the film. And I wrote a piece about the North Country threads that I see still emerging for me in Disappearances. And so I'll read that. North Country threads still emerging in Disappearances. I've been on the road with Disappearances for nearly 3 months now. I'm discovering new layers in the film, and I've been prompted to explore the picture's distinctively North Country elements, rooted in Howard Mosher's rich story. Some of these regional touches were serendipitous. When we filmed the scene where Henry Coville's 1932 Cadillac breaks down in the woods, sap buckets were still hanging from maple trees. There's no mention of them in the script, but it made sense to include them in the movie. The Disappearances story resembles a Western, with its mythic themes, scruffy characters, rough-and-tumble action, and high-stakes quest to save the family farm. But when Henry grabs a galvanized sap bucket to fetch some lake water, the film shows a distinctive North Country touch. Maple Sugaring gets another nod when Christofferson's Quebec Bill meets Rusty DeWeese's Frog LaMundi and fails to convince the tight-fisted sawmill operator to lend him enough hay to get through the winter. Empty-handed but unbowed, Quebec Bill puts a positive spin on his troubles. "At least we won't lose a fortune making maple syrup this year," says Chris Christofferson's Quebec Bill. "That's one worry I and Wild Bill don't have." LaMundi lunges forward to set the record straight. "You know those maple trees you sold me?" LaMundi says. "They still had spouts. Nothing chews up an old saw blade like an old sugar spout. Cost me pretty money." Some audience members chuckle in recognition of these distinctively regional phrasings and character sensibilities. Likewise, when inscrutable whiskey smuggler Henry Coville's bullet-riddled Cadillac limps to a stop by the lake, despondent, Henry doesn't miss a beat when Quebec Bill volunteers himself and his son, Wild Bill, to help fix Henry's battered car. "We'll do it too, Hen," says Quebec Bill. "No, we won't," replies Henry, almost to himself. "I will." Howard Mosher snagged hundreds of vivid phrases and character beats on the fly while working the woods or traveling the Northeast Kingdom's back roads during the early 60s and 70s. A few are familiar, but most carry the fresh imprint of an original, adapted but clearly rooted in a North Country that's unique, even as it may be vanishing. Think of Rat Kinnison's retort after being offered some freshly cooked trout. "I don't eat nothing that don't walk on four legs like a man," he says. Or Wild Bill's schoolteacher and aunt, Cordelia, who addresses the boy as young sir and tells him, quote, "It does no good for your mother to treat you like a prize fish." "Mr. Man," Quebec Bill exclaims to Henry outside the hotel. French-Canadian actress Geneviève Bujold's Cordelia provides much of the film's magical realism. And her mystical character is grounded in an eccentric turn-of-the-century sensibility. She drills kids in Greek and classic literature in her one-room schoolhouse. Living isolated on a Northeast Kingdom farm since the 1870s, her imagination is enlivened and her spirit transported by her intense cultural interaction with the likes of Shakespeare, Milton, and Emerson. In the woods, Cordelia describes the whiskey outlaw Carcajou to Wild Bill as a loup-garou, the mythic French-Canadian boogeyman Quebecois kids learn to fear from harrowing bedtime tales. Some people note Carcajou's Union and Confederate officers' uniforms, and they use them as a jumping-off point to discuss their possible meaning, and Vermont's unique and painful legacy in the Civil War as the state that lost the largest number of men per capita. After our show in Enosburg Falls, a farmer sent me an email, quote, "I saw your film last night and had to write. I'm a third-generation Vermonter on my father's side. My mother was Canadian. I was brought up on a dairy farm, and my wife and I are still running the same farm, milking 30 Jerseys. I feel I can give some perspective on your film." Although the hills of Vermont are outwardly very pastoral and full of grandeur, I have always believed them to be full of mystery and secrets, even ghosts. Also, smuggling stories abound here in this region. The story hits close. It's a good tale. A Champlain Valley Union schoolgirl commented after one screening about this sense of place that she experienced. Quote, when I watch a Hollywood film that's been shot in Vermont, I say it sort of feels like home, she said. After watching Disappearances, I say it is home. Urban critics often dismiss films that treat the natural world as being inherently nostalgic. This strange notion ignores what those of us who live here know as an outdoors that is grand and intimate, powerful and unyielding. In my first feature film, Where the Rivers Flow North, protagonist Noelle Lord cannot let go of this spectacular natural milieu. Neither can he tame it. In Disappearances, the natural world's power is less physical than magical. As we see through Cordelia's connection to the snow owl and woods, the vanishing steam train, and Quebec Bill's half-baked rainmaking device. Wherever she is, Cordelia looks beyond what is visible, while Christofferson's Quebec Bill navigates the kingdom's physical world of lakes, hills, and streams. He advises his son on how to cut stakes and lash rope for a handmade travois to transport him home. Even in April, he plunges into the frigid waters of Lake Memphremagog. For Quebec Bill, the reviving of the trout frozen in a block of ice is evidence enough of the kingdom's natural magic. Of course, Mosher's characters aren't intended to be typical Vermonters, but they do show qualities that a keen writer would surely observe. At a recent screening at the Woods Hole Film Festival, a man rose to ask a question. I'm puzzled by Quebec Bill, he said. He's smart and cunning, but he's also irresponsible and doomed to failure. Before I could say a word, a marine biologist in the front row blurted out, have you ever lived in northern Vermont, he said. I have. I like how Howard Mosher is drawn to flawed and even doomed characters because he celebrates their spirit, intelligence, imagination, and indefatigable spirit. They're quite human and alive. I've found much in these stories that connect me to very specific notions of the North Country, ideas and images that I've been pleased and privileged to shape as my own.